Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson.
I'm Sam Delaney.
Good morning, Sam. It's Monday morning. How are you doing?
Yeah, all right. It was all right weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I've got no idea of knowing what yours was, although I know you were pissed on Saturday.
Yeah.
Because there are all sorts of messages, all sorts of ideas coming through for the show around what I call pissed o'clock on Saturday.
Which, with hindsight and having looked back at them in the cold light of day, don't seem quite as good now.
I can't remember them, but I went along with it because I knew you were pissed. I didn't want to anger you.
Yeah. In case the messages escalate to a phone call.
Yeah, is that... Who are you to not accept my ideas, you fucking arrogant cunt?
That's fucking gold, that is. It's fucking, that's the BAFTA. That's the fucking BAFTA, that one.
Yeah, so it seemed like you were having a nice time.
Yeah, I just got really drunk with me mates.
Yeah, that's great.
And I'm still sort of feeling the after effects this morning. The fucking 2-day hangover. Oh, dear me.
Well, it's another reason why people have had to wait a bit longer for this week's podcast, which we often do on a Sunday evening, but you were hungover, and to be honest, it is genuinely becoming untenable me doing the podcast with the kids in the house. I know I've commented on it before, but now it's just got out of hand because, like, the one we did on Thursday, which lots of people have been very complimentary about on Twitter, but not so much in this household. You'll know that my troll, whose name escapes me, who I suspect of either being my daughter or my wife or a combination of two, I do know that my wife looked up that horrible tweet and liked it, and I think retweeted it, which was annoying. And then my daughter said that she'd heard me claiming that she ate more meat now we were vegetarian.
Yeah.
And she took issue with that, and I entered into a debate with her about it, and in the end she just cut across me. She went, either way, just don't talk about me on your podcast or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
Like, really disdainful of the very existence of this thing. And I said, fine. And then my son, who I thought had been asleep in bed in his room, said, I heard you say something even pipes up. This is round the breakfast table on Saturday. I heard you say something even worse on your podcast. And he had a big grin on his face. He's only 7, you know. And I could see my wife thinking, oh, no. And I went, what? And he went, I heard you say, shut up, you fat fucking lady man. And I was like, oh, no.
Oh.
And I was like, my daughter and my wife looked at me really annoyed because I couldn't help but laugh when he said it because I don't encourage my kids to swear. Of course I don't, but it is funny when you hear a young kid swear like that.
Of course it is.
And so I couldn't help but laugh. And then I said to him, do not ever fucking say that. Well, I said, do not say that. I'm stupid for saying that. But then we went out with his mate and his mate's dad later that day. And I don't know the mate's dad that well. It's a bit awkward. You know, when you're shoved together with another parent.
Yeah.
As it turns out, he's a very nice man. So it was all fine. But obviously, you're trying to make a good impression.
Mm-hmm.
And Len tries to bring it up again. Oh yeah, you should hear what he's saying to his mate, but in front of us, you should hear what my dad says on his podcast. And he goes to start saying, I go, Len, do not say that. Anything you ever hear me saying on my podcast, never say it. And
then of course you also feel like a dick because you've been outed as having a podcast.
Yeah. Well, no, I told the other dad had told me that he was really into podcasts.
Oh, right, okay.
And he listens to the Danny Baker one.
Yeah.
Danny Baker and then he called Peter Crouch.
Peter Crouch, yeah.
A number of podcasts, Andy, that aren't ours.
Mm.
And so I bristled.
Yeah.
Like, but I had to play it down because I'm thinking, yeah, but Top Flight Time Machine's the best podcast. He didn't even say Mints.
God's sake.
I mean, I would have let him off the hook if he'd said that at least. So I was being childish in my mind. Then Len starts trying to quote things that he'd heard me say, which, to be honest, when taken out of context in isolation, Andy, they don't reflect well on this podcast.
Or you, particularly.
Or me. Least of all me. But also, I think the podcast has got more to offer than just the fucking mad, demented swearing.
It's got depth. If you just took the isolated swearing and just showed that to people, you know, it'd be just like rude men.
Then it'd just be like that fucking people taking that Bross documentary, filleting out all of Matt Goss's mad things, turning them into memes and, you know, doing an article like top 10 funniest Matt Goss quotes from the Bross documentary. Yeah. And then you'd think, oh, this is silly. But then when you watch the Bross documentary, you realise actually it's a thing of depth and artistic merit.
Definitely is, yeah. It's on again this Saturday night as well. If you haven't seen it yet, I know we've bigged it up a couple of times. If you still haven't seen it, it's on BBC Two this Saturday night. It's been on BBC Four a couple of times, and BBC Two have realised which way the wind's blowing and that there's viewers to be had. So it's on yet again, BBC Two this Saturday night. So there you go. I'll be watching it.
I mean, I haven't watched it for a second time yet, which is remiss of me because it's a minimum double watcher.
I've done it three times. and I've got the Blu-ray as well, but I haven't got around to watching the Blu-ray yet.
Yeah, I'm going to get the Blu-ray.
Before we go any further, we've had some correspondence from Lisa Red 4D on Twitter, and this is in relation to one of the News Without News headlines from the last episode about long penises helping hermit crabs avoid being robbed during sex.
Right.
And there's an explanation. It's from a QI tweet. Because they've got long penises, this allows the male crab to procreate without leaving his shell, thereby reducing the risk it will be stolen while he's having it off. So that's why. That's what it's about. It's like if you had a massive dick, it means you can have sex without leaving the house with someone that was just going past outside.
You know what that reminds me of? Mr. Tickle. Because you know Mr. Tickle could make himself a cup of tea and a sandwich without getting out of bed. Because his arms went all the way down to the kitchen.
And he even reached all the way to the local school and tickled the teacher through the window.
Yeah, that's in post-U-Tree. I think that book has been edited.
Yeah, probably, not so good now.
But I did often think, imagine if that extended to other appendages.
Of course. Why wouldn't you think that?
However, if you did have a penis that was capable of performing those kind of miracles, you should use it wisely because it's like the old Spider-Man thing, isn't it? With great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah.
Don't start using your extra long penis to stick into God knows what holes all over town, up someone's drain pipe, etc.
Yeah.
Down the vicar's chimney.
Yeah, just to keep your hand in.
Yeah.
In the absence of any other holes that'll accept it.
Yeah, because you still need a willing hole. Doesn't matter how long your penis is, you know. Great if you had a neighbour who you were already in a romantic, say she lived like he lived four doors down. You could Skype each other. Do you fancy some nookie?
Fancy a bit? Yeah,
I do. But I'm just in the middle of watching the Bross documentary for the fourth time, and I'm having a biscuit.
Yeah.
But no problem.
I'll just send it round.
Open your window. I'll send my willy round now. Hey, talking of willies, do you know that... Have you seen that lots of people have ripped off my biggest willies in showbiz article?
Have they?
Yeah.
Since you spoke about it on this podcast?
Correct. Since I talked to you on the podcast, suddenly The Sun published it. And not only was it the same idea, they had also done the exact same visual execution that I had used all those years ago.
No way.
Which was a series of vegetables of varying sizes.
Yeah.
Right? So I thought, fucking hell, something funny's going on here. And a few people got in touch with me on Twitter to alert me to this. And it was honestly uncanny. This is not one of my usual Sam Delaney deluding myself that I've invented everything before anyone else.
Of course not.
Which I know sometimes I can do. This is, I did invent the Willy article and that design layout and The Sun 9 years later or 10 years later, whatever, I've done it. Fine, I don't care. I'm not going to take on Murdoch. But if other people do it,
yet
all I'm saying is that, as I said to someone on Twitter, you'll be hearing from my willy lawyers, which gave me an idea for a special legal firm called Willy and Willy Legal that just dealt in willy-related legal cases.
Okay. Don't You're know on your own with that one.
If don't know if that's an idea for a TV sitcom or an actual legal firm or a radio show or another podcast. I don't know. But make a note of it, Andy.
Yeah.
Because I think it's an idea that we might be able to monetize at some point. Willy and Willy Limited.
Can I just slowly withdraw from that one?
You're out.
I'm out already. I'm not into that at all. Can I just go back to the Mr. Tickle penis thing that you've just talked about? How do you get an erect penis to go round corners?
Aha, good question.
Because has it got a hinge? A series of hinges?
I think what you do is you unfurl the penis while still flaccid. Maximum on a semi.
Yeah.
And that's how it can get to where it needs to go. And then once it's arrived...
through the streets and around
The recipient...
yeah.
...gives you a double tap on the helmet to let you know that it's ready, that it's in position. And then you begin to become erect. However, having said that, then it might lose its position. I don't know.
The position would change.
It's a tough one.
I think the length would change as well, obviously. A flaccid penis is shorter than an erect penis, isn't it? So
going round corners is a...
Have you got to then take that into account and leave it short by about, I don't know, a percentage from its target area?
Yes.
And then once it's erect, it then fills the space that it needs to get to.
It's like if you got a pair of unshrunk Levi's 501s, people used to say, get them an inch too big at the waist and the leg. Because then, if you sit in the bath like they used to in the olden days to shrink to fit to your body, they will lose an inch on both. So it's the same with crab's cocks. Is that what we're talking about? I don't know.
It started out as crabs, but it's gone into the human realm since. Mm. Let's not deny it. We're talking about ourselves here.
Was there a kid at your school who was known to have a particularly large penis? You don't have to go into any detailed anecdotes.
No, I don't think there was. There was one who, when we started in the first year of secondary school and had showers after PE for the first time, was very obviously fully pubic at the age of 11. He was like a man boy. But,
there was a man boy. Well, we've talked about your school before, like how there was lots of men who just looked like they were professional darts players or something.
Yeah, that was it.
Who seemed to be school children.
Yeah, age 11. I started on the first day because there was a sixth form there as well. So the age range went from 11 through to 18.
And men with beards.
Yeah, there's fellas with moustaches smoking in the fucking playground and everything. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? Have I come to some kind of foundry?
it's terrifying.
This is not a school.
Yeah.
This is it.
Shall we have a look at the prediction league?
Okay.
Not a great weekend for everybody, except for you, really, Sam, because you slightly extended your lead.
Oh my God.
4 points. Nobody got a correct scoreline. It was all correct results here and there. You got 4 points. You're on now 72. Results bot only got 3. So that tin cunt is now on 70.
Yeah.
And I got 3 as well, so I'm just behind results bot on 69.
Well, I need to go back through the way that these things have progressed over the last 6 weeks and draw a graph, or even the whole season, a graph, because the way at which I have recovered at such a rapid pace is something that...
It's unreal.
Not many people have seen this before, someone coming from that far behind to win.
Yeah, it's unreal.
I mean, not that I'm saying I've won. There's a long way to go, and I'm taking every prediction as it comes. Mm. But to have achieved what I've achieved at this stage is remarkable, and I would like to see it in a graph format.
I'm pretty sure that some members of the online TFTM fan community who've got their unofficial tribute blogs...
Why don't you call them the Cunters?
The Cunters, all right, the Cunters. I'm not completely comfortable with that still, but I'll go with it.
A lot of people using it online, on Twitter. A lot of people seem warm towards it.
All right, the Cunter blogosphere, because they've all got blogs where they all write about their podcast and, you know, review it and analyse it. I'm sure some of them have got graphs of the entirety of the prediction league from the start of the season right through to now.
Well, if you do, please make it available to me. I'd like to see it. And
usual channels.
Print it out, stick it, frame it on the wall back here at home. Confuse the kids, scare the children.
Lots of people get in touch with us via Twitter, but we've also now, at no great expense, we've also acquired an email address, which you can get in touch with us.
Yeah.
We've forked out for an email address. It is topflighttimemachine@gmail.com. So some people have been emailing us some bullshits and sexual failures and all that kind of thing. But what I should say is, if it's a really long one, don't bother.
Well, I think any story, I mean, I'm one to talk. It's hard, I'm hardly known for my brevity. But you can always shrink it down.
I would say if it's a really long one, try and make sure it's a really good one as well.
Yeah. What are those special... Are they Chinese or Japanese poems that are just in...
The haikus.
You can do haikus.
Yeah.
Bullshit haiku.
The first line is 5 syllables, second line is 7 syllables, I think, and then 5 syllables again.
Yeah.
If you can do a bullshit in one of them.
But if you can do a bullshit or a sex fail in one of them, go for it.
You'll get one of our non-existent badges as a prize.
Yeah.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
Quite a lot of bullshit's come in, and it's been kind of stacking up over the last few weeks, so should we try and get through as many as we can?
Let's do some. I don't have... There's one that I really liked yesterday, but the rest is on you, I think.
All right, then. Well, I'll go first, then. This is from Carl Mapp via the new email address that we've acquired. Carl says, a top bullshitter at primary school told us that his legs were made of steel and would never break. To prove this, he had all the lads lined up and taken in turns to kick him in the shins. After a couple of boots to the legs, I could see tears in his eyes, but he bravely allowed a few more before quickly running away crying. He never mentioned the steel legs ever again.
I bet he didn't. there's a great subcategory of bullshit where you haven't thought it through and people contest it immediately there and then. It's the opposite of the classic bullshitter's bullshit, which is, you know, having a girlfriend in Canada. People cannot test that. If you claim you got noshed off by a French girl in the woods by a campsite you're on holiday, right, there's no way that can be, like, specifically denied. Because if you're in some isolated woods, no one can disprove it. But things like having steel legs, it's just like someone's blurted a bullshit and they haven't done their due diligence. Here's another one that could easily be disproved fairly quickly and easily, but I do like it, from Paul Bell on Twitter. He says, my mate reckons he can flush a toilet full of bog roll and shite just with the power of his piss flow.
What, a whole bog roll?
Well, just like, I think what he means is...
the bog roll.
I just think that he's done a shit, the shit's done, and then he's wiped his arse, depending on the size of shit. We're talking about, what, 3 to 4 to 5 wipes, I don't know. And so that amount. And then he's just gets up. He's obviously held the piss back while shitting, which is
that's
no easy
really
task.
Impossible. That's really almost hard. Impossible to do, yeah.
And then, unless he goes in and does it on someone else's shit, oh, that's disgusting.
Either way, the man reckons
he's got a massive shit. My brother Dom reckons that when he was at primary school, they had a urinal. What do you call, not the individual urinals, but the trough style ones, right?
Trough, yeah.
Trough.
We call it a trough.
So at primary school, there was a trough and it was the wall that the trough was at the base of was the wall that only went halfway up. to the ceiling, right? So it divide and it divided off the toilet from the corridor outside. It's just making sense.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it doesn't matter because the point of the story is that my brother reckons that he was walking to the toilet and he was walking along the hallway and on the other side, some of the lads were doing who can piss the highest, like you do.
Of course.
There was a bloke called John Knappin, I think his name was. I don't know why I remember the details of this. And he pissed. He was the champion. He was the champion pisser of the school. And so it was Dom's unlucky day because as he was walking along, suddenly he felt piss raining on his head. He was like, oh, who the fuck's done that? He runs round and John Knappin is caught red-handed, pissing so high it's over the wall. But I think my brother forgave him because I don't think he was doing it to try and get my brother. He was just trying to win a piss contest, fair and square.
Did John have some kind of Mr. Tickle penis, do you think?
No, it was the jet. It was the jet, and that not necessarily is down to length of penis. In fact, you could suggest that having a smaller, stubbier penis, or a chode, as they are known. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
Chode. Having a chode might allow you to generate better power and propel your urine higher and faster. Yeah, because
there's a short distance for it to travel from source to outlet.
Think of a build of a 100-metre sprinter. As opposed to a Steve Cram.
Yeah. The middle distance runners are tall and rangy, whereas the sprinters are more squat, aren't they?
Tend to be squat, chunky. You have that explosive power.
Yeah.
Anyway, my brother Dom got his head pissed on. By the way, Paul Bell signs off his text about his friend's powerful piss by saying, £5 in the mail if you use this. He means to us, because remember we've set up a new system where you have to pay us if we read your content out.
That's all right then.
Okay, you can get the invoicing details via the email address.
That's fine. That's all right. You named John, was it John Knappin you said there?
Yeah.
It's good that you've named him for no good reason, because that's another person who could subsequently get in touch with you and say, never talk about me on your podcast ever again. We've already got your daughter, and we've got, who is it?
Louis Collins.
Louis Collins as well. Yeah, the list is mounting up. So John,
Louis Collins popped up on a sensational video of Leeds fans. You know, nowadays I'm seeing it more. Fans, away fans getting in the home end. Not necessarily like for trouble, but just being in there and thinking it's all right to just stand up and cheer when your team score.
Fucking hell.
Leeds fans did that at Loftus Road. And my brother sent me a video, and I'm watching it, and I'm thinking to myself, that's out of order.
Yeah.
But these people didn't look like they were there to start aggro. It looked like they were just naive and didn't understand that it was not on. And
fucking hell.
Few people shout at them, and then suddenly the great Louis Collins emerges from the crowd and let's just say remonstrates with them in a robust manner, asking them to leave the stand. So... although I promised not to talk about Louis again, I think that's something to be very proud of.
Yeah, you've mentioned him, and I might even share the video.
You've mentioned him
in a positive light there, so I think that's fine. Couple more bullshit. Oliver McCormack gets in touch and says, I work with someone who claimed to have been raised in Ireland but lost his accent at 16 after falling from a tree. He also claimed at the age of 20 to have been in the Marines, killed some people and then left. And Oliver says, I'd known him since we were 16 and this clearly never happened.
Very good.
More Special Forces stuff. This is from @BunnyGetsIt on Twitter. I used to work with a spectacular bullshitter. He was a university library warden that claimed to be ex-forces. He said that there was a boat parked on the Thames outside Parliament once and he got orders from the Prime Minister to go aboard and leave no one alive.
And that came direct from the PM.
Direct from the PM.
Wow.
To Bunny Gets It, his friend. But he's now a university library warden, so fallen on hard times there.
Well, maybe, but maybe you just choose sometimes. You think you've had enough of that kind of life and you go the other way completely.
You want to change your pace. Yeah, I guess
Like, have you seen I've asked you this before, but The Equalizer with Denzel Washington.
Hmm.
The film version of the great Edward Woodward TV series.
Yeah.
And in it, like, he's been Special Forces working for the CIA or whatever.
Mm.
And he's just decided to quit the life because it was all too much. And he just works In the first one, he's working in basically a home base. And in the second one, he's an Uber driver because he just wants the quiet life. But unfortunately, things keep happening around him that force him to use his special skills. And this guy, this bullshitter, is sort of on that.
It's trouble finds him.
He's decided, I've had enough. I've seen too many bad things. Things that a man should never have to see. And it's time to get out of the game and live a simple life. A humble life.
In academia.
You're in the library and suddenly some terrorists rock up because they want to blow up the bit about capitalism and Christianity and you just have to go into action.
The message comes down from the PM.
Yeah, this crossovers into our hero fantasies, of course, which we're also interested in.
Of course, plenty of them. Keep them coming. Another one from at Warwick Road. A well-known bullshitter and member of my sister's ex's family, she didn't really need to tell us that, but thanks anyway, says the bullshitter once told people he got pissed one night and walked home along the canal in Clayton, Manchester, but ended up getting on a barge and crashing out. When he woke up, he said he was in France.
Actually, that was another thing that you can get in touch with for more content, which you have to pay us for. We did it the other week, didn't we? But I want to hear your ones, just where you've woken up.
Oh, yeah, it's a good one.
Surprise places you've woken up.
Yeah.
Gone to sleep somewhere, or perhaps you don't remember going to sleep, and then you wake up and you're like, what the fuck's going on here?
Yeah, with me on Saturday night, it was on the set day at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Well, that's quite standard.
That's quite common.
Yeah.
But I told you about like my mate and the Marine or whatever he was, the Army man. Asking him, telling him he had a bottle of wine at his house after having fallen asleep on a train. And then another bloke who I used to work with told me that he woke up once in a bin, having fallen asleep on a train, drunk. He had somehow been removed from the train and thrown into one of those massive bins.
Yeah.
And another time he reckons that he woke up having fallen asleep on a train and had been laid out across some tracks.
Fucking hell.
Yeah,
like a screaming woman in a black and white comedy film.
That's what he said it was like. Yeah,
was there an evil fella twirling his moustache at the side of the tracks?
I said, why? And he goes, oh well, you know, it's like people mug you on the train if they see you asleep. They come, they take your wallet, and some people aren't satisfied with that, just taking your possessions. They want to humiliate / kill you, so they lay you across some tracks.
Yeah, true, right. About 18 years ago, I worked for a brief time at a British Telecom Directory Inquiries call centre. It was not a good time for me, personally or professionally. And on the first day when I started for like the training induction thing, I got put in the same group as a young fella called Michael. And Michael lived in South Shields, which was about 7 or 8 miles away from the call centre. And Michael informed everyone that because he didn't want to be late on his first day, he'd come through to Sunderland the night before and slept in a bin.
Do you think that was true?
I think it was true. I think it was absolutely true. So he'd slept in the
really
bin.
I really admire Michael because is like being in the SAS.
Yeah. He's planned ahead, hasn't he? So he woke up, dusted himself down. Yeah. You know, script some potato peelings off him or whatever was in the bin.
Listen, mate,
went into
who
work.
Didn't admire and aspire to the lifestyle of Top Cat when they were growing
exactly.
up?
Exactly,
exactly. We all did, didn't we?
Of course.
I loved it. He had that little telephone box, which was supposed to be Officer Dibbles, but he used it just for his business calls.
Yeah.
And he'd clean his teeth, wouldn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He had a little glass that he kept his toothbrush in. He had a night mask.
Yeah.
And it just looked amazing sleeping in that bin down an alley. And every boy who watched Top Cat thought, one day I want to live in a bin down an alley with all my mates.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
We still do. It's the stray man's fantasy.
But the problem is that he's now appearing in fucking adverts for
Halifax
banks and things like
flogging
that.
Flogging fucking mortgages. And that right there is encapsulates everything that's gone wrong with our society.
Yeah.
Because what he was like the embodiment of a rebel spirit. Do you know what I mean? That's why we all like loved Top Cat and wanted to be like him, because he didn't give a fuck. He had a gang of mates. They copped a snooper, Officer Dibble. They cared not for the way in which people... In many ways, it was like train spotting. You know, like at the beginning of train spotting, he's going, get a job, you know, get a career, get a family. And he goes, but I chose not to choose life. I chose heroin. That's like Top Cat, but Top Cat did it 20 years beforehand. Because Top Cat could have started with, they say choose a job, hey boo-boo. They say choose a job. No, I'm doing fucking Yogi Bear now, although it's similar. Choose
have
a job.
Have you seen the episode of Top Cat where one of his gang repeatedly tries to commit suicide?
Yes, I have. I have, and you couldn't do that these days because that really makes light of suicide.
I just remember
suicide.
There's a bit where he's standing on the top of a bridge and he's got a rock chained to his ankle. He's trying to throw himself off.
Oh, God, no. That's
it'll be
awful.
On YouTube somewhere.
Is it just Benny the Blue who's trying to do it? Because he seems the one. Is it Benny Blue?
I think it was Choo Choo.
Choo Choo always seems the most upbeat cunt of all of them.
Yeah.
Anyway, Top Cat did not toe the line, did he? He refused to fucking conform to society's norms, right, and expectations. He chose to opt out.
Straight man, but he was a cat.
Of the capitalist conspiracy, right? He was a free spirit, and he was enjoying his life, and he was playing by his own rules, down an alley, in a bin, with his mates.
If we do eventually get a no-deal Brexit, I think a lot of us are going to be going full Top Cat.
Yeah, and it's not so bad. Better than working for fucking Directory Inquiries, isn't it?
Gotta be. Yeah, Michael's mistake was to get out of the fucking bin and turn up for work.
Yeah,
he should have just used that as his springboard.
Because then you're just becoming a slave of these fuckers.
Yeah.
And now what I'm saying is Top Cat represented all of those noble instincts that so many of us have when we were young and are beaten out of a lot of us, right? And now the fuckers have co-opted him to sell their fucking mortgages.
Yeah.
I.e., the very fucking bastion of the system that he was designed to rebel against, and they've sucked him in. Money talks.
Always.
Fucking Top Cat selling me. And do you know what the worst irony of all is? My mortgage is with the fucking Halifax.
Oh, man. You must be tempted to change.
I'm going to stop paying.
Yeah. Well, obviously, fucking no deal's coming, mate.
And if they ask me, I'll fucking tell them it's because of this Top Cat business. I'm not happy about it.
I'm not using the house anymore. I've got to live in a bin. So I'm not paying for it anymore.
And all this fucking money I'm paying you, all this interest, right? You're fucking spending that on basically corrupting the fucking legacy of Top Cat. And I won't have my hard-earned money going on that because that is disgusting. So I'm living in a bin. I'm not paying the mortgage anymore. Do what you must.
And anyway, Michael got sacked after 4 days because he was fucking useless.
Oh,
so I don't know where he is now.
Kept giving out the wrong numbers, didn't he?
Yeah, he was pathetic. Red hot content. That's about all we've got time for. I'm going to end with a little sexual feel for you. It's a good one.
Oh,
this is from Willie Stewart. He says, age 14 in 1982 on a school holiday to the Venetian Riviera. Sets a nice scene there, Willie. Thank you very much. Not a normal school holiday. 2 weeks at a beach resort with a one-day trip to Venice. All of us were allowed to drink, smoke and hire motorcycles.
Fuck, you know, is this a school trip?
Yeah, that's what he says.
This is the greatest school trip of all time.
This could be a sexual feel and a bullshit mingled together. So he says, it took a few days of us being there to realise it was a popular resort with our German cousins and it was full of tall, blonde, blue-eyed and sun-bronzed teenage girls and boys. For us, coming from provincial England, we had never seen the like. It took until the second week for me to pluck the courage to engage with these creatures. I was sat out in front of a bar with my friend and wingman, Darren Carson. I tentatively started some small talk with two German girls at the next table. It went well for a few minutes. I was encouraged, but I was starting to dry up. I turned to Darren for some silver-tongued input. There was maybe 10 seconds silence before Darren's face lit up with inspiration. He pointed to the sky and shouted, "Achtung! Spitfire!"
Darren, for fuck's sake.
Willie says, "We left."
Well, that is awful, but that's not your own sexual fail. You were doing all right, mate. It's your mate fucked you over,
Darren,
which is almost
it?
A different category. If you got, like, cock blockers or whatever you call them, mates who stitched you up, that's a different thing. You basically, you've got nothing to be ashamed of there. And I would like to hear more about this school trip.
Yeah,
because
definitely.
It sounds fucking sensational. And so please send us more details. One thought comes to mind, I won't go into detail now, is about... I've on every school trip I went on, there was a terrible litany, a trail of sexual failures, right? All of them were riddled with them, ones that have lived with me ever since. So we've got plenty more podcasts to get through those. However, it puts me in mind of one incident, which I'm not going to tell you about now, but I had a conversation with my brother coming back from a job we did last week on it, and we're in the car, and there's a bit of traffic, so it's kidding time, and I had a conversation starter with him that was sexist, and I'm not proud of that, but having said that, this is our fucking podcast, and no one can stop. What are you going to do, sack me for a conversation? It's a private conversation, which I'm now making public. I can't remember how it came up. But I said to my brother, what are the top five times you have seen tits?
Right.
And he said, are you talking about the best tits I've ever seen? And I said, no, I am not. That's a complete separate question. I'm talking about the top five instances in which you have happened to see some boobs.
Mm.
So it might be, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis's tits in Trading Places is an obvious one to say.
The best tits. But, ever.
No, it's not the best tits. It's the best incident of seeing tits.
No, I'm saying Jamie Lee Curtis is in Trading Places are the best tits ever.
But, you know, like, it could be a surprising incident of seeing boobs. It could be unsolicited. Yeah. It could be just, oh, my God, I didn't see that coming. It could just be a treat that someone's given to you. You don't know.
Yeah.
So that, on a school trip to Germany in 1988, some girls from the year above were in the room next door to me and my mate Ben.
Right.
And my mate Ben he looked older than the rest of us, going back to what we were talking about earlier, and lots of girls liked him. So he was a great person to have on your side when you were entering tentatively into the world of romance, like I was at the time. And he was smooth talking the two really fit girls in the room next to ours, who were in the year above.
Mm.
And one of them put her bare boobs out of the window.
Ooh.
So that's obviously in my top five. Top five times you've seen boobs. I know it's a bit sexist. I don't know if it's like, I'm looking at your face here, you feel uncomfortable with the subject.
No, not at all.
But it was just a conversation starter, and he told me it. I'm not going to go into my top five now. I've told you one, as an example, in case other people have got good incidents of seeing boobs. And you could be a male or a female listener. It doesn't matter, because this isn't even sexual. It's just being surprised by a pair of boobs.
Yeah, well, we'll hand that over to the cunters and see what they come up with. Right, we're going to be back later in the week with another Keegan Odyssey, and then we'll be back on Friday with, no doubt, 50-plus anecdotes about seeing tits.
It's got to be a surprise, though.
Thanks for listening to our football podcast.
Yeah, come on, Johannes. Come on, Leeds as well.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.